It's Joshua chapter 5. Joshua has taken the children of Israel across the Jordan River, the overflowing Jordan River. They made a decision, though they've had some anxiety and a little bit of fear, to go ahead and cross this river. The priests were the very first one to dip their feet in that water as they stood there for hours with 2.5 million people crossing the river that particular day. God was faithful to his word. He told Joshua that in 3 days they would cross, and they did. God was faithful to his word, and he told Joshua, in one day I'm going to establish you, and he did. It's because of the fact in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, that God is faithful, and now that they have crossed, look with me, it's Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. You see, the bottom line is the word is trying to make it very clear to us by emphasizing it twice. Their hearts had melted and they were, spirits had left them. I think of the Wizard of Oz, and you remember the Wicked Witch of, I can't remember, the East or the West, and she was so terrified of this water that was going to be thrown on her by Dorothy, and she, remember, she was just screaming because she was going to melt if this pure water was on her because she was so wicked and so unclean. That's the kind of terror we're talking about. These people were absolutely crippled with fear. The children of Israel, they come crossing over this 2.5 million people. There's 40,000 from the 2.5 tribes that are ready for war. And all of the peoples all around, they hear this. And listen to what they say. Their hearts had melted. Fear. It's when your heart begins to increase and you begin that fight or flight syndrome. I think you know what I'm talking about. It's a cat up against a wall and all of a sudden the muscles start to tense and the hair on the cat goes up because the cat is afraid. Sometimes it's, well, those butterflies that are in our stomach. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, the Bible says that fear is bondage. It holds us captive. It keeps us as a prisoner. I think the best way for us to understand how the Amorites and the Canaanites felt is maybe to take a look at our own nation today. You see, if I just stop for a minute and I think about the fact, ISIS has crossed the Atlantic Ocean and now on our soil? In fact, it was an afternoon daily broadcast that ISIS put out just a couple of days ago. Two followers of the Islamic State attacked several days ago a center in San Bernardino. We have felt the pain of ISIS. What is this thing, ISIS? It's the Islamic State for Iran, Iraq, for Syria. ISIS, ISIL, one and the same. Listen carefully. This is a group, an organization. No, not an organization. A nation emerging from Al-Qaeda. Listen, 30,000 soldiers strong in just the period of a year. Young people that are using social media to attract their people in this apocalyptic goal to bring back the Islamic State from the Levant, which is the Mediterranean Sea, all the way over to the Persian Gulf. They want the Islamic State, but not just this state that extends over this Muslim world. No, they believe in bringing on the apocalypse. And anyone who doesn't believe as they do, even other Muslims that are called Shia, listen, they're infidels. They don't have a right to live. Ruled by a man that is their new caliph. You see, he's a guy, his name, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. They've named him to be the president, the prime minister, and we know as the caliph, the guy who will lead this nation. Listen, they are out for destruction. And this week we have felt their pain. Our nation, A recent CNN ORC poll, 81% of Americans believe that ISIS is in America and ready to attack. 61% of Americans say that they will expect another attack. They expect another attack in the next couple of weeks. And how could you not, when you read on the internet the propaganda, we have 71 trained soldiers in 15 different states ready to attack at any word that we give. When you read on the internet that the FBI has 1,000 active probes throughout our country, listen, no wonder the NBC Wall Street poll says 47% of America feel less safe now than before the 9/11 attacks. And listen to this. 61% of Americans say that we should take military action. This same poll a year ago, only 20% of Americans said that we should take military action against ISIS. Now, 61%? Listen, people are afraid. In fact, in a recent Gallup poll, Americans were interviewed on what do they fear most? And out of the 10 top things, number one on the list was terrorism. People are afraid. You see fear? Fear arises in us because we perceive some kind of danger. We feel that, well, we are in trouble and we have a response in us. Either we run away or we fight. I remember I was a missionary in Brazil. And we were in a favela and we were ministering to a group of, well, they were definitely high, definitely drunk, definitely wasted out of their minds. And so my assistant, her brother had gotten saved while he was wasted out of his mind. And so I thought, well, let's just give the gospel. And I'm with my broken Portuguese and they're with their broken English. We began to communicate the gospel. Well, one of the guys, he gets up and he leaves and he gets mad. But I'm speaking to one of the guys and I see he begins to sober up. So we continue the gospel and we're communicating to him and we're trying to get him to understand that despite his condition and despite his turmoil, that Jesus Christ loved him. And I said, look, he sent us to just tell you right here in this favela that Jesus loves you. Right then and there, that guy sobered right up. He received Christ as his Savior and Lord. Well, in the middle of this and at the end, going towards the end, his name was Hugo. And Hugo, he goes, let me tell you something, Pastor. He says, now that I've given my life for Christ, I know what's going to happen to me. I know there's going to be spiritual attack. And I know that the enemy is going to come against me. And my friends, they're just going to be mad. Well, right about the time that he says that, the guy that had left, and he was so mad, and he left while I was giving the gospel, he comes back, and he takes out of his pants right here a 6-inch blade, and he shines it like this, and I'm talking to this guy, and he takes the blade out and stabs the guy right in front of me, the guy that just got saved. The guy takes off, and I'm in the middle of fright. I can't move. I'm standing right there, and I'm watching this entire scene, and this guy, it's like I'm watching a movie. And this guy is taking a knife, and he's swiping away at this other guy as the other guy's trying to run to get away. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't move. And then the guy with the knife, he comes up to me. And as far as this podium, maybe only about 4 or 5 feet, he takes the knife and he starts screaming at me in Portuguese. I can't understand a word he's saying. I don't know what's going on. All I know is this knife is looking at me in the face, and I'm looking at a really mad Portuguese-speaking Brazilian who has no idea what I'm saying, nor do I have any idea what he's saying. And I'm backed up against a wall. I don't know what to do. But let me tell you something. I'm afraid. And I don't know if you've ever been that afraid. I don't know if you've ever been so gripped with fear, like you can't move, you can't speak, you don't know what to do. And I hear this, fear not, I am with you. Fear not, you don't want me to be afraid right now? I'm terrified. Fear not, I am with you. I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. Well, it surely doesn't feel like you're around right now. You need to do something. Fear not. For I am with you. This guy's screaming at the top of his lungs and he's going like this with the knife. I can't move. I'm up against a wall. I couldn't know if I could run anyway. Fear not, for I am with you. And that guy took off. And then I heard the Lord say, I told you.
fear not, for I am with you. Fear not? How many times in Scripture do we read these two words? Or do not be afraid. But the truth of the matter is, fear is natural. Fear is very natural. In fact, I've got to ask myself a question. What am I going to do when I am afraid? I mean, God is telling me, fear not. He's saying, do not be afraid. But you don't understand. I'm hearing that ISIS is in our country. We just were attacked. How do I handle this? No, the better question is this. What does Jesus do with the fear that we have? It's John chapter 20. Maybe you want to turn there with me. It's John's Gospel chapter 20. Let's take a look at the disciples. John's Gospel, chapter 20. Now, let me explain and let me set the scene for you. The disciples have had a rough weekend. Jesus Christ, their leader, who they followed, he fed them, he protected them, he took care of them. He was everything to them for the last 18 months to 3 years. They followed after Jesus Christ, and now he's been crucified. He's dead. And it wasn't just like, oh, he died on a cross. No, all of Jerusalem was worked up in this thing. And now all of Jerusalem are looking for these 12 guys. It's John chapter 20. Take a look with me at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Stop there if you would. They're afraid. Because fear is natural. And here they are in this room. They won't even go. One of the other gospels says that the ladies would go out. They would send their wives out to go and get food for them because they didn't want to leave. There's nothing like a strong woman. Let me tell you something. Behind every strong man, there is a stronger woman. If you ever watched My Big Fat Greek Wedding, you know what the saying is. He may be the head, but I'm the neck that moves the head. Listen. These ladies, they were going out, they were feeding the disciples. They were terrified because their lives were at risk and their lives were at stake. But I want you to see what Jesus does. And Jesus came and he stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Supernaturally, in his resurrected body, I don't know if he walked through the wall, I don't know if he just appeared, but Jesus, in that locked room where the disciples were absolutely afraid, supernaturally, he comes and he says, "Peace be with you." And let me explain, though fear is a natural response, peace is given to us supernaturally. Peace we can live in supernaturally. I love Jesus. I love our big brother. And let me tell you why I love him. Because here is Jesus, and at the right moment when they're absolutely afraid, big brother Jesus comes in on the scene and he says to them, "I'm with you. Peace be with you." I love this. This is like, you know, I don't know if you've had a big brother and all the bullies at school were picking on you. And then all of a sudden your big brother shows up and you're terrified and you don't know why all the kids are running. And then you turn around, you see your big brother and he's walking like this towards whatever's going on towards his little brother. Well, let me tell you, Jesus supernaturally sees that they're afraid, shows up in their moment. But this is what big brother Jesus does. Listen, you remember it's John chapter 6. The disciples, they're out on the Sea of Galilee. And while they're out on the Sea of Galilee, this big storm comes up, so much so that it's breaking apart the boat. The disciples are absolutely terrified. And what does big brother Jesus do? Oh, I love it. He comes walking out on the water because he knows they're afraid. And he looks at them and he says, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Not just for the disciples, big brother Jesus. Let me explain. I was teaching it today in my Acts class. It's Acts chapter 27. I'll read it for you. No need to turn there. It's Paul. Paul, and here he is. He's going through the storm of his life. So much so, they have girded the boat with rope. They have thrown out their food. They haven't eaten in 14 days. They've not seen sunlight. They've not seen stars. This is called a tempestuous storm. And here he is for 14 days, and they are all absolutely terrified. They believe that they're going to lose their life. Now, I grew up on the islands, and let me explain something. I don't know. Did you hear that my accent began to change as I talked about my home?
Sometimes it happens. Listen, I grew up on the islands, and I don't know if you know how terrifying it is to be out in the water in the midst of a storm and not to have any light. They didn't have like flashlights. If your candle didn't light at night, you couldn't see. I guarantee they couldn't see their hand in front of them through the night when there was absolutely no sun to be seen. Let me explain. These people were terrified, but what was Paul doing? It's Acts chapter 27. An angel appears in verse 24 and tells Paul, "Don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you." Let me tell you what Paul was doing. An angel was sent because Paul was in prayer. You see, peace can be found by those who pray. Peace can be found by those who pray. And I guarantee it's why Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, "Do not be anxious for anything." Don't be anxious for anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends, surpasses understanding, will fill your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." Paul knew this to be true. He had a peace that passed understanding despite what was going on around him in this particular storm. Paul went to God in prayer, and Paul found the peace that he needed in the midst of troubled times. But if you're taking note, listen, not only can peace be found in prayer, peace can be found in love. Turn with me to John chapter 14, John's Gospel chapter 14. Let's read what this son of thunder wrote about Jesus Christ. It's John chapter 14. He says this in verse 27. Jesus is communicating to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, the disciples were confused. The disciples were afraid. The disciples, they didn't understand. The disciples, they had a lot of questions. "God, why? Where are you going, Jesus? And why would you leave us? And why would this happen? And what are you talking about, this crucifixion thing? I want you to stop. Lang, lang, lang. Don't say any more about death and dying. Lord, no, what are you talking about? I'm lost. I'm confused. I don't understand." And Jesus says, "Listen, I'm giving you peace. And I'm not giving you peace like the world gives you. I'm giving you a peace that's internal, a peace that's in your heart." He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." He says, "I'm not giving you a peace that comes from the world. I'm not going to give you a peace that will be in your circumstance or your situation. No, I'm giving you a peace that's deep within, a one that passes understanding." See, I'll never forget. It's Corrie ten Boom's sister, Betsy. It's a statement that has impacted my world and my life. And there she was at the Nazi concentration camp. She had given her life to hide Jews during World War II. Terrorism all throughout Europe as Jews were being slaughtered. One family decides to stand up and say, "We will not be afraid because of the peace of God, not that's around us, no, but that's in our heart." Listen, while she's at the concentration camp, one of the prisoners and inmates, they look at her and they say to Betsy, "Look at you. You're dying of pneumonia. You're in a concentration camp. You're not even a Jew. How can you say there's a God who loves you?" And Betsy looked at her and said, "You look around you and you say these things, but I say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." Jesus says, "I have a peace for you that's in your heart, not in your circumstance." Look what he says in verse 28. "You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." He's communicating to his disciples, "Look, you've got questions. You're worried about the fact that I'm leaving, but if you loved me, if you really loved me,
then you would trust that I have a great plan from a great God for your life. You see, I think John got it. You see, this son of thunder, he writes this down in John's Gospel, chapter 14. But many years later, when he writes his first epistle, it's 1 John chapter 4. I think this son of thunder who became the apostle of love, I think he found peace in loving God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, because it would be that John that would write in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, perfect love casts out fear. Because when we choose to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, we can be assured that whatever comes our way is God's best plan for us. Nothing can come to us except through his grace. The question is, if you loved me, Jesus said, you would trust I'm going to a great God who's got a great plan. As a missionary, I looked many years to find people that I could look up to, people that I could learn from, people that have walked the walk and had talked the talk. They actually lived the life. And you know, my wife and I, we have 9 kids. 4 of them we've adopted. 3 of them were from Liberia. And we found a family who adopted 5 African children. Their name were Henry and Dorothy Hungerpiller. Oh, you probably never heard of them. In fact, except I mentioned their name now. You see, this couple, over 30 years in Liberia, they adopted 5 Liberian children. And my wife and I, oh, very frequently, we would leave Fort Lauderdale, we'd drive up to South Carolina at their place of retirement, and we would ask them question after question after question until one day, Henry told me a story. He was a beekeeper, and as he was retired, and we were walking out, and he looked at me and he said, Chet, I want to tell you something. It was the night before my daughter's graduation. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, and he gave me a psalm. Didn't know why the Lord gave me that psalm. But the next day when the door knocked, I knew exactly what had happened. This was a day and an age when children, they were encouraged to live at boarding schools as their parents served on mission fields around the world. And the door knocked. He opened the door and he looked at 2 men. And he looked at them and he said, come in, I know. The 2 men sat on the couch with him and they began to explain only the day before his daughter drowned in the ocean on a high school senior trip just a couple of days before her high school graduation. And Henry looked at me and he said, Chet, I never cried. I said, you never cried? He said, I can't explain it to you, but I was so grateful that God had prepared my heart and he had filled my heart with so much peace that I trusted in him, that even though I didn't understand, that he was protecting my daughter from something and he brought her home to himself. I had peace. How do you have this kind of peace, Henry? Because I love Jesus, and I trust that his plan is good for me. I can't just love Jesus when I'm not afraid. I can't just love Jesus when everything is good. No, I'm choosing to love Jesus even though I don't understand. And let me ask the question, what's the alternative? John, I believe he describes it. You see, first he says, perfect love casts out fear. But the very next portion of that verse, because fear involves torment. What are we going to choose to do? Live in fear and torment our whole life? Are we going to choose to be afraid and walk around wondering when the next attack is going to happen? Listen, that's worry. And Jesus said, listen, do not worry about tomorrow, because all the enemy wants to do is cause torment in our heart, and he wants to scare us. But if you know you're loved, if you know you're cared for, if you know that he catches every tear, and if you know that he knows the hairs on your head, if you know that he knows that all the days that were ordained for you, he knows them, and he knows you by name, oh, your approach is different. It's the Christmas season, right? Well, listen, my family and I, we were watching The Grinch. Now, I don't know how you feel about The Grinch and Dr. Seuss and one side or the other, but it's a funny little story. And listen, Cindy Lou Who, she is quite a character. You see, Cindy Lou, she's loved by her father. And the family that's presented, the father that's holding her on his neck, and they're just doing everything together. And Cindy Lou Who, she just knows how loved she is, that she wants to give this love to someone else. She starts thinking about who during this holiday celebration that they could celebrate in Whoville. She decides, I'm going to celebrate the Grinch. This little girl, who only knows love from her dad, climbs that mountain, goes up to the Grinch, knocks on the door of the enemy. Mr. Grinch, she says. Now you may be saying, Chet, are you really using a Grinch illustration? Listen, Grinch opens the door and she goes on in. She's unafraid. She could care less about the enemy. But the Grinch, oh, let me tell you what he does. Watch the movie. Listen carefully. He starts to growl at her. He starts to rip his shirt. He goes, and starts doing all of this stuff to her in this big showcase to make her afraid. And you know what Lucy does? That's really funny, Grinch. She's not afraid at all. You know why she's not afraid? She grew up with a father who loved her. She trusted in the love of a father, so much so that she thought love could win him over. Can I tell you something? When you really know that you are loved by the Father, when the enemy comes at you and begins his growl, ripping his shirt and trying to make you afraid, you, like Jesus will say when the Pharisees attacked him in John chapter 5, do you think I care what you're doing? My Father loves me. You can't do anything to me, Pilate. You can't do anything to me, Pharisees, unless the Father who loves me allowed it to happen. Listen, love brings peace. But if you're taking note, peace can also be found in faith. Faith. It's Luke chapter 12, once again talking about our disciples. Luke chapter 12, in the midst of these troubled times, it's Luke chapter 12. Listen to what Jesus says to the disciples. He says, and I say to you, as he's getting ready to send them out, my friends, verse 4, Luke chapter 12, verse 4, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very heads of your hair are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. You see, peace comes by faith. I can be at peace because Jesus told me to. Now let me help you understand the scripture. Listen what he says in verse 4. I said to you, my friends. My friends. I'm friends with God Almighty, the maker of the heavens and the earth. I just want to let you know that. Try messing with me. I'm friends with Jesus. Jesus who said, let there be light. Jesus who said, okay, tree. There we go. All right, let's see. Let's do a bird. Let's do a fish. I mean, think how creative God is that he would create a duck-billed platypus. I'm convinced with the manatee, he ran out of material. Just kind of rolled like this and threw it in the ocean. You see, Jesus, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he says in verse 4, my friends. Let me tell you what Jesus is saying. Chet, I got this. What are you worried about? What are you afraid about? Chet, I'm on your side. It's why the writer of Hebrews could say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? What can man do to me?
I was spearfishing in the Bahamas, and I learned a very important lesson about how natural fear is. I had heard the boat, and we had put an anchor on the boat, and I was out in the water, and I heard the anchor, and it must have come up because it was clanging on a rock, and I heard underwater, clang, clang, clang. Well, clang, clang, clang underwater, it just kind of attracts attention to anything that's swimming around. So I figured I need to go back to the boat, and I had a friend in the water with me, and I was going to secure our skiff and be able to put the anchor in the sand. And on my way back to the boat, and I'm swimming back to the boat, lo and behold, a bull shark comes up from underneath the boat like a surprise attack, comes at me. And as it's coming at me, its mouth is open like this. And I don't know if it was open to eat me or just open to swim. Comes up from me. I put my hands out like this, screamed like a 5-year-old girl, and realized how Peter was able to walk on the water. Literally, I look out and I see the shark take off, do a 180-degree turn, and charge me again. Before I know it, I'm in the boat. And I have left my friend abandoned in the ocean. He's scrambling as hard as he can to get into the boat. I don't help him. Now, I'm Pastor Chet. He gets to the boat, and Adam looks at me, and he goes, "Dude, what happened?" And I, like on the movie Jaws, shark, shark. And he goes, "Dude, you left me in the water." I go, "Bro, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know. My body took over and I just left you. Dude, I'm sorry." He goes, "Bro, it's okay." I go, "It's not okay. I'm a pastor. I left you in the water. Like, you could have been eaten." He goes, "No, I'm really okay." "No, it's not okay." I start crying. I'm like, "I left you in the water. You could have died. But it wasn't my fault. My body took over. I tried to save myself. I really didn't care about you. I mean, I care about you, but I'm sorry." Started going back and forth, and the whole boat ride home, it's silent because I'm so embarrassed that I left him in the water, because that's how natural fear is. But what am I going to do when I am afraid? Am I going to choose to run away from my problem? Am I going to choose to lock myself in my house? Or am I going to get to a place of peace by faith? You see, there is one thing that we need to be afraid of. The writer of Hebrews says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Go back with me to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. "So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted. There was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel." God was with the Israelites. They were not afraid. They crossed to conquer. God was not with the Amorites or the Canaanites. They didn't have God. And they were afraid. So afraid that their hearts melted. There's a bumper sticker that I saw many years ago. It was the word no, N-O. No God, capital N-O, no peace. And underneath it on this bumper sticker was no God, K-N-O-W. No peace, K-N-O-W. See, the children of Israel, they were at perfect peace because God was with them. But those that didn't have the Lord were terrified. and afraid. Church, let me tell you something. In these troubled times, Jesus has left us peace. It's a peace that passes understanding, that comes through prayer. It's a peace that can be found when we choose to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and rest in the fact we're invincible until God says it's our time. It's a peace that can be found in our faith because Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled." Now, I wonder if you have that peace. Would you pray with me? Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. And we see those that have God as having peace. Shalom. And those that hear about God but don't have him, they're afraid. They're afraid of judgment. So Lord, I come before you and I ask that those that are listening to the sound of my voice, whether here in this audience, on the internet, or listening on K-Wave, my prayer is that your spirit would go out now seeking and saving the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we want to give you an opportunity to K-N-O-W, know God, so that you can K-N-O-W, know peace. Without God, I can see why you're afraid. I can see why there's terror. But Christian, listen to me. We have a peace that's been given to us by Jesus. It's a peace not in our circumstance, but in our heart. You know the peace I'm talking about. His name is Jesus. And tonight, maybe you've been invited by a friend. Maybe you're listening, and you don't know what this peace is. And so if you're the church, I'm going to ask you now to pray. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior, Ryan's going to lead us in a song. And we're going to ask you to make a step of faith. And for the first time, say, "I want peace. I want peace in my heart." Or maybe you're the believer and you need to make a bold step of faith and say, "You know what? I've been living in fear. And I'm going to come forward tonight because I want to renew my walk with the Lord." I don't know what your decision is, but no longer live in torment. Follow the advice of the Apostle Paul, who learned his lesson. He realized what it meant not to be afraid. He no longer was going to live in the torment of fear. If that's you tonight, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And we want to pray for you. And whether you're receiving Jesus or you want to be set free from fear and choose to live in peace, you come. As Ryan sings this song, take your step of faith and watch the God of all grace give you a peace that passes understanding. Ryan, would you lead us in a song? Church, you be in prayer.